श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। हरे कृष्ण। So this morning I was thinking that about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, so much to cover, and but this time 5-6 sessions is not really sufficient. And as I mentioned the other day, the purpose of this seminar is not to give you the complete understanding, but to generate the interest so that you will feel inspired to delve into deep or deeper. Do you think that'll happen?
Yes.
Yeah, that's very important actually, because we must get absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Like devotees are actually meant to speak about the glory of the Lord all the time. So that they themselves become absorbed in Krishna consciousness and they inspire and motivate others also to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And the result is Dushyanti cha Ramanti cha. The result is that they become very much content within their hearts. Krishna consciousness, or to be absorbed in spiritual topics, is difficult, whereas it is very easy to become allured by the influence of the material energy. Why? Because material realities, we have material nature, we are always perceiving, we see. That's why to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we have to shift our consciousness there. And this influence of the material nature is very strong. Like senses are constantly dragging us towards the objects of the senses. Like we see things, we hear things, especially seeing and touching. These are the two most involving senses. We see some beautiful form and immediately the tendency is there to enjoy. And that leads to the eagerness to touch. So this is how the material nature is always provoking us, alluring us. Come and enjoy. But that's actually Maya's trick. And Maya is testing us. Do you really want to become free from the material bondage? Do you really want to become attractive to Krishna? Do you really want to go back to Godhead? And that is why hearing, that is constant remember, constant reminder is so important. And that is what is expected out of devotees' association. Constant just reminder. Look, that is Maya. Don't go for her. That's illusory. Is giving you the promise of enjoyment. But what will you get? Suffering. That's a very simple lesson that we must learn. Very simple lesson that we must learn with all earnestness. Maya is saying, come and I'll provide you enjoyment. But what you'll get is suffering. And when you become absorbed in hearing, remembering Lord's pastimes, then we get to see where the real enjoyment is, where the real shelter is. Material nature is a very, very dangerous place. At every moment there is a possibility of getting hurt, even the possibility of losing our life. But if we take shelter of the Lord, then we at least don't have to worry about it. He will take care. And how will He take care? Just as an example in that respect is given, a cat. Holds the kitten with her sharp teeth at the most vulnerable point of the body, the back of the neck. And that is how the cat actually kills its prey. The cat or tiger or lion, members of that family, their way of killing their prey is jump onto the back of the prey, bite onto the back of its neck and give it a jerk and it breaks the spine. But the mother cat is holding the baby cat at the same place with the same sharp saber-like teeth. But is the baby cat worried about it? He knows it's the shelter of his mother. Wherever the mother will take him, for his own safety. So this is how a devotee feels towards the shelter and support of the Supreme Personality of God. He knows what's good for me. And he just remains completely secured, completely confident about his security. So that is why the reminder is there, the Lord will take care of us. He is our supreme well-wisher. He is taking care of us in all respects. And if we just think about it, we can see how wonderfully He is taking care of us. If we think in the right direction, if we think in the wrong direction, then we'll be in trouble. wrong direction means denying the arrangement of the world. Rather to consider that, well, everything is happening by chance, everything is happening by accident. Especially today, actually the most damaging factor is the so-called scientific presentation. Science has found some truth, but that doesn't mean that they found the ultimate truth. But because they have found some truth, because they have made some technical advancement, there is some industrial development, some mechanical and technical achievements. Like, people are completely enamored and they think that whatever they say is the truth, is the absolute truth. And it becomes quite shocking, like, just like the other day when Mrigank actually made that point, the lunar eclipse, and visually it may be real, it may appear to be correct, but when you look at it from the scriptural point of view, it can't fit in. Like, moon, according to the scriptures, is farther away from the sun. Actually, the distance between the earth and the moon is double the distance of sun. So if we look at it from that point of view, then where is the question of earth's shadow falling on the moon? But visually we are seeing something, and but the question is, you know, visually, how can we trust our eyes, our perception? And that's why while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he made some very important point there. He said that the scriptures you have to accept as the truth. Whatever is stated in the scriptures is the truth. We have to accept it. And he gives the examples. And then he makes the point that even if there is apparent contradiction, even if there is contradiction, you have to accept. And he gives the example, the scripture says the stool is unclean, and even if he touches by chance, he must take bath. Even after his own evacuation, he must take bath. After passing stool, one must take bath. Even if one touches a brahmana stool who is so exalted, he must take bath. But at the same time, the scriptures are saying the cow stool, cow dung, is so pure that you can even purify the temple with that. I mean, anybody will say, what's going on? What's this contradiction? But when you scientifically analyze the qualities of cow dung, we find that it has the most amazing antiseptic effect. Just even clinically, even in a scientific research, we can find that. No other animal's stool or no other person's stool, even a brahmana's stool, doesn't come anywhere near that. Rather, that they are all rotten, you know, excretion of the body. most dirty thing. Just the thought of it makes us shudder in disgust. But the scripture is saying, and we see, since time immemorial, that culture is being followed. Cow's stool is used, not even horse's stool that we used, not even buffalo's stool is used. Only cow dung is used. So much so that in the villages, like, they clean the house in the morning by smearing cow dung. The scripture says the bones are very, very contaminating. That's another thing, that when one touches a bone, one must take bath. But conch shell, which is bone of an animal, is pure. So that we put it even in the altar. So this is how apparent contradictions are also, when the scripture presents it, it's the truth and nothing but the truth. So now you consider, when the scripture says something, should we accept it as it is? Or should we let our reasoning mind to interfere into that? The very thing the injunction is, don't allow that. Just accept it. And just consider such brilliant personalities are accepted. And eventually we saw that how those statements of the scriptures became real. Like in that respect, I heard one incident with Srila Prabhupada. When the whole world was bouncing with the achievement of moon landing, Prabhupada was in London at that time. It was being telecasted in the TV. And Prabhupada's back was towards back. I think Prabhupada was having a massage. And all the devotees kind of, like those days TV was also quite rare. Like they all gathered there just to see the moon landing. And Prabhupada declared, they didn't go to God. When the whole world is bouncing with that achievement that we landed in moon, Prabhupada said, no, they didn't go to God. And today, what is the statistics? I think, about 10, 12 years back, I had one statistics. There's a thing called Gallup poll in America. They kind of, just haphazardly, they just question people and try to come to a conclusion. And the conclusion was, more than 30% people in America don't believe that they went to Mars. And Prabhupada's point was, and Prabhupada's reason with them. The moon is a triangle of nectar. Why did you just go to moon and brought some rocks? Why spend trillions of dollars just to bring a few rocks? And then they were so excited, they were making plans. Those days people are bouncing, that they will buy land in moon and there will be settlement and so forth. What happened? People were so eager to kind of, they were bouncing with excitement that, Now you said there will be settlement in moon. There will be. I think some consideration also was there that the land will start. We'll start selling land in moon. Now, moon is not good enough. The next goal, I think, was Mars. Mars is not good enough.
One after another.
And they are bluffing. Because the question actually came up, why did they do things like that? One understanding was that in order to divert Russian attention in Cold War. Now, America presented that they went to Moon, now Russia has to get back into that race. And this is how they wanted to divert Russia's attention and getting into a kind of a competition with America. And eventually what happened? Russia also followed the same bluff. Another idea was the scientists get huge amount of money for their scientific research. And they have to prove something. They have to show that they have done something. And you know something? In last 100 years, there hasn't been any scientific, remarkable scientific invention. Scientists didn't invent anything in last 100 years. All that has been invented was much before that. There has been some technological development, but not scientific development. That's why they're coming up with all kinds of diverting propaganda through movies and all kinds of things. Star Wars, Jurassic Park. They can't prove it, but in science, through movies they show that a dinosaur's gene have been found from a fossil, and from the gene they developed an egg, and from that egg the creature came out. So they're just presenting it in such a deceptive way, such a cheating way. And as I was telling the other day, like, okay, even if we say that scientifically it is, this is how it is, then also we can say beyond the gross effect there is a subtle effect. And we have to consider that what the scriptures are saying, although apparently with our gross material senses we cannot perceive that, but we have to recognize that these are the subtle effects. Fine, the placement of earth in such a condition comes in between the moon and the sun, and as a result of that, the shadow that is cast, that is causing the eclipse, and so forth. But you can say, okay, that is happening due to the effect of Rahu, the planet. So in one way, as there are opportunities to disbelieve, there is a possibility to believe. It depends how we want to direct our consciousness. And that is why there is a need for these discussions. And I'm seeing that, well, it just occurred to me, that people are actually calling their bluff. I don't know whether you know, there's a big protest all over the world. Because Trump is cutting the budget to the scientists. I mean, sometimes it seems that he's a smart guy. He's calling their bluff, you know, like, why do you need the money? What have you done? Previous governments didn't do that, but he is saying, so why should we give you money? What have you done? Now their thing is, propaganda is the ecological, the ecological factor. What is the expression they use?
Global warming. Huh?
Global warming. Global warming and like the term for that is
greenhouse.
Like
greenhouse. Greenhouse.
No.
Climate change.
Yeah, that climate. Dealing with the climatic condition. That is actually, it is actually ecological factor. The deal with the nature, we have to deal with the nature. We have to rectify the condition. But what is the big deal about science and science and that? Like just tell everybody what to do and what not to do. Stop using gas. Stop using your machines. That is the way. You don't need any scientific, rocket scientist to decide that. All this is caused by pumping in all the carbon dioxide that you're pumping in into the atmosphere, all the poisonous gas that you're pumping into the atmosphere. And that's where it's happening. Their thing is that we'll keep on pumping. You find a way that nature will not be affected. That is their point. Let us keep on doing what we are doing, but you find some way that would counter that. Just go to the basics. Stop using this fossil fuel. Stop using your vehicles. What's the point in jumping and running around in vehicles all the time? Force everyone to use public transport. Increase that possibility. I remember as early as in the early 70s, in Germany they were making an arrangement that in big cities they won't allow the cars to come into the city. All the vehicles will be parked outside the city, and they were actually counting the number of vehicles, number of people that are coming into the city at different times, and accordingly they were planning that they would have public transport, arrangement for public transport. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. I don't know why it didn't happen. They were planning it in 71, 72. Anyway, so the point that I'm trying to make is, it's very important that when the devotees get together, they just discuss among themselves about Krishna's wonderful arrangement. Krishna's arrangement. Yes, the calamity, the way the world is going, is bound to happen. It's bound to happen. Sooner or later it will. Like how long, like all these nuclear weapons, they are continuously making them, and with the time they are developing them. Like I was reading one report a few years back that the the nuclear weapons that they have today, compared to these nuclear weapons, atom bomb that was dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki will appear to like two balls. About 30 years back I heard a statistic that the amount of arsenal, nuclear arsenals they have, that can destroy the world 300 times. The world can be destroyed, and that was about 30 years back. And they are continuously making those bombs, making those weapons. So all these weapons are being manufactured. So what's going to happen? I mean, aren't they going to, someday aren't they going to be used? And when they do that, who knows what will happen? One bomb can destroy one whole city. And not only that, the radioactivity will keep on traveling, you know, will move. The bomb may explode at one place, nuclear bomb, but the radiation will spread. So it's not that, like for example, like say if North Korea drops a nuclear bomb in South Korea, North Korea won't be safe. The radiation will spread that few hundred kilometers of distance is there. And even if not that, even if the governments don't get into, the nations don't get into the war, like the terrorists, what if some terrorists get some access to one or two of these nuclear bombs? That's why Pakistan is one of the biggest problems today. Because they know that terrorists can take over the country any time. And they have nuclear weapons. And if they use it against some country, there we go. We believe in one consideration, that when you consider a crisis, you must also come up with a solution as well. So that's why we are pretty safe. And we know that these are the crises that are looming overhead. But, yes, we have a solution. Chant the holy name. Just, you know, when the situation becomes that critical, we know what to do. And at least we have to remind ourselves, we have to remind those who are around us, we have to remind those who are not aware of these possibilities. Anyway, so I'm taking the time to make this point, that although we are giving the seminar on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, but the real objective is to become aware of the Lord's inconceivable potency. To become the possibility or opportunity of taking shelter of His lotus feet. And when we do that, we can overcome. We'll be able to overcome any difficulty. That is the objective. When you go home, you may forget what you discussed. But if someday the real crisis hits, then please remember that. That this is the only way. And that's why the scriptures are saying, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gati Ramnatha. There is no other way, there is no other way. At that time, we have to remember, there is no other way. At the time of death, what should we do? At least that crisis is going to come to everybody. When that comes, what are you going to do? Okay, initially you may try to get cured and so forth, you know, take the help of doctors and all kinds of other possibilities that are there. But the thing is that ultimately no arrangement will be able to prevent that possibility. So then what to do? When that point comes, at least at that point, we have to surrender to Krishna. nastiva nastiva vati nivritta. And that time we have to remember Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, but Kevalam, the only way, Harir Nama, but Kevalam. Anyway, so we had been discussing about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Today I thought that we would also discuss about some other personalities who are also very, very important in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. The first one that you think of is Nityananda Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute Krishna consciousness. And who is the main distributor? He came to distribute Krishna consciousness, but who is the real distributor? Nityananda Prabhu. Through him he is actually distributing Krishna Prabhu. Although he has come, Namo Mahavadannaya, Krishna Prema Pradayati, Pradayati, meaning distributing. But through whom he is doing, making that distribution? The main personality is Nityananda. They came together. Therefore, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, at the beginning of Chaitanya Bhagavat, he is making his prayers and he is saying that these two personalities, he is not making any difference, that these two personalities together are responsible for distributing Krishna consciousness. And in this respect, he is actually identifying two of them as two fathers of Sankirtan movement. Sankirtanaika Pitaro. Pitaro, Pita means father. And in two numbers is Pitaro, two fathers. Sanskrit is a very precise language. Singular number, dual number, and plural number. And the structure changes. One person, like for example, one person is Nara, two persons are Naro, and three persons, Naraha. And this structure will follow. That any letter, any name or any word that is ending with A will follow this. Nara and A or A, so Pita, Pitaro, Pitara. So then again female, male and female will have difference. Like for example, Pita is masculine, and Pita, Pitaro, Pitaraha, and feminine will be different. Lata, Late, Lata. Lata is a creeper. One creeper is Lata. Two creepers will be Late. And three more, I mean, more plural will be Lata. Lata with a Visarga, ending with H. Anyway, so he is pointing out Pitaro, two fathers of Sankirtan. Sankirtanaikya Pitaro. And who are they? Vishambharo Dijabharo, the maintainer of the world. They are two, Vishambharo. Not one maintainer, two maintainers. Vishambharo. Vishambhar, Vishambharo. Dijabharo, the best of the Brahmanas. Dijavara is a Brahmana, one Brahmana. Deja Varu to Brahmanas, best of the Brahmanas, two best of the Brahmanas. Vishambharo Deja Varu Yuga Dharma Palo. They have come to establish the dharma of this yuga. And what is that dharma of this yuga? Sankirtana. Sankirtanaika pitaro kamalaya taksha. Their eyes are like lotus feet, wide, extended. Kamalaya taksha. So that's why Nityananda Prabhu mentioned. And who is Nityananda Prabhu? Nityananda Prabhu is
Balaram.
Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Balaram came as Nityananda Prabhu. Balaram came before, Nityananda Prabhu came before. About 12 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got here. And he appeared in the northern part of Bengal, place called Radadesh, the land where Ganga doesn't flow. And actually, in ISKCON, we use the expression Radadesh as Radhadesh. But it's not actually Radadesh, there is not, no land called Radadesh. It is Radadesh, but they pronounce it anyway. Everything is in the Sambandha. If they are thinking that this is the land of Radharani, that's fine also. So Nityananda Prabhu appeared there as the son of a very exalted Brahmana named Harai Pandi and Padmavati Devi, his wife. He was the eldest son. His father was extremely attached to him, so attached that he would always keep him with him. Even when he had to go to some place, he would take Nityananda with him. So attached. Naturally, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Nityananda also, from his childhood, he would, instead of playing games with his friends, he would get his friends together and enact the pastimes of the Lord. Like, to give an example, one day they were playing Ramchandra's Ram Leela. Maybe that you can also encourage your children to also do things like enact different pastimes. Of course, Nityananda Prabhu was doing like nobody was telling him, but he would actually make the script, he would direct, he would tell them, you play this role, you said this. And he would, this is how he would enact the pastimes of the Lord. And now one day they are playing the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. And Indrajit, Ravan's son, hit Lakshman with Shakti. Lakshman fainted. Then what happened? What would happen after that? Hanuman went to get Ganduma to the Vishalya Karuni, the herb that would revive Lakshman. And Hanuman could not identify which herb is Vishalya Karuni. So he uprooted the whole mountain and carried the mountain. So that is the thing, pastimes that they were supposed to play. But when Lakshman got hit with Shakti, Shakti Shale, he fainted so really, so such genuine fainting, that he lost his senses and there was no sign of life in his body. So everyone got worried, what happened? He's dead. Everyone, the news reached the house, his mother and father, others came out running. And they started to cry, what happened? There's no sign of life, he's dead. When there was this commotion going on, one boy who was supposed to play the role of Hanuman, he remembered his role. So he immediately came, like carrying the mountain. And then everybody came to their senses. Like the person who was playing the doctor, he just quickly went and thing and put it in front of his nose. Nityananda came back to his So this is how Nityananda was playing in his childhood with his friends. When he was 12 years old, one sannyasi was invited to their house. Actually, it is a custom that the pious brahmanas would invite the saintly people, or high-class people will invite saintly personalities. And the saintly personalities used to travel from one place to another. And then they would invite them. In India, this custom is still prevalent in the villages. Like, what to speak of villages, like I remember early days, sometimes I used to go to Vrindavan and do parikrama, Radha Kund, or Varsana. And the local people would come and invite Baba, come to our house, take some prasad. You know, like, I mean, that caste, this is India's actual spiritual heritage. So anyway, Harai Pandit met this powerful looking, you know, exalted, brilliant looking personality, the same person. So he invited him to his home. And he stayed, they spent the night discussing about Krishna Katha. And in the morning, when he was about to leave, the sadhu, the saintly person, he told Harai Pandit, you see, if I ask you something, if I ask you for something, will you mind? Harai Pandit said, no, please tell me. It's my good fortune that you are asking something from. He said, see, I always travel alone. And I was thinking that it would be nice to have some companion. So will you give your son to me to travel with me? Harai Pandit felt as if, you know, the thunder struck him. But still he composed himself. Can well imagine whom he couldn't separate him for even a moment. Now this sadhu sannyasi is asking him to go with him. So he went inside the house and consulted with his wife. And his wife said that no matter how difficult it is, we have to fulfill the words that you have given to the sadhu. That you promised him, whatever he would ask, you would offer it to him. So Harai Pandit, yes, please take him. And one can well imagine Hare Pandit's condition at that time. He became mad in separation from that time. He's crying all the time. And Nityananda went with the sannyasi and he was traveling with him to all the places of pilgrimage in India. Interesting thing to note here that Nityananda was at home for 12 years. And after 12 years he left home, and after 12 years Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he left home. And then after traveling to all these places, he went to Vrindavan and he stayed in Vrindavan. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his Sankirtan movement, after being initiated by Ishwar Puri, then Nityananda came to Navadvipa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur and Srivas Thakur. He actually described a dream he had. In that dream he saw a powerful personality who's came riding on a chariot. On the chariot, on the flag of the chariot, there was the insignia of a palm tree. Now, do you know who's marked there on the flag is palm tree? Balarams. What is there in Krishna? What is the mark of Krishna's flag?
Hanuman.
Krishna's?
Lord Hanuman.
Yeah. And so this is how he kind of indirectly indicated that Balaram had appeared. And he started to describe all the personality, which is the description of Balaram. He was not mentioning the name, but he was actually... And he told Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, go and find them. I'm sorry, not Nityananda Prabhu, Srivas Thakur. Go and find this personality who arrived. So they traveled, they searched around Navadvipa, but came back and said, oh, we couldn't find them, a newcomer like that. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, let's go. Look for him. And he came to the house of Nandanacharya. Nityananda Prabhu was hiding in Nandanacharya's house. And his mood was that let me see whether he recognizes me. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named Nityananda this way. And since then Nityananda Prabhu became his constant companion. In the Sankirtan, Yajna, Nityananda Prabhu was the main conductor. And that's why Nityananda Prabhu has been described as the distributor of Krishna prana. Nityananda Prabhu then went to... When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Nityananda Prabhu went with him. And you know, I discussed it the other day, how he misled Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, brought him to Shantipur so that the residents of Vrindavan, residents of Navadvip could actually get to see him again. Then Nityananda Prabhu also accompanied Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he went to Jagannath Puri. But on the way, he broke Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's danda, sannas danda. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very, very disappointed with him. So in this way, Nityananda Prabhu had many wonderful pastimes with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed on in Vrindavan and stayed on in Jagannath Puri. And other devotees from Bengal who accompanied him, they went back to Bengal. But then, next year during the Ratha Yatra time, they all came. Whole of Navadvip practically came to Jagannath Puri. And Nityananda Prabhu also came. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed, and during the second visit, instructed Nityananda Prabhu to go back to Bengal and spread Krishna consciousness. And he also told Nityananda Prabhu to get married. So that's another very beautiful episode. There was a very exalted Brahmin called Surya Das Sakhel. And he had two daughters, Janava and Vasudha. So, wedding was an arrangement between Nityananda Prabhu and Janava Devi. And so, after the wedding, they were staying in the house of Surya Sakhel. So, one day, Janava's sister, Vasudha, she was serving Nityananda. She was also very fond of Nityananda. So she was serving, and at that time her sari, the cloth that was covering her head, just fell off from her head. So she was serving with two hands to Nityananda Prabhu, and her thing fell, so she became quite embarrassed. So she manifested two other arms to place her sari on her head. And then Nityananda Prabhu told the father that I would like to claim your other daughter also. So this is how Nityananda Prabhu got married to both Janava Devi and Vasudha Devi. Janava Devi didn't have any children, but Vasudha Devi had two children, one daughter, Ganga, and the son, Birchandra. Nityananda Prabhu was preaching very, very successfully, very effectively, all over Bengal. And the merchant community, generally in the Vedic culture, the brahmanas are considered to be the most exalted. The next in line are the kshatriya, then the vaishyas. So as a result of that, the vaishyas were not really looked up with so much respect. So, but Nityananda Prabhu delivered the Vaishyas. Now, interesting thing to note now, that in today's world, the Vaishyas have become the most, aristocratic people. Because they have, today's world, this is how we see that how world has changed. Those days, money was not the main criteria. Like, different classes had different priorities or different ways to be recognized. The brahmanas were intellectually. Their wealth, their strength was an intellectual ability or intelligent ability. The kshatriyas, power was, Kshatriya's strength was in their physical power or military power. The Vaishyas was monetary power. And today we can see that the world has become dominated, is being dominated by the Vaishyas, because the Brahmanas have disappeared. Kshatriyas, there is no Kshatriya. The only Kshatriyas in this world are the Mafias. Some semblance to the Kshatriya. But Vaishyas are most predominant. And they are actually ruling, they are controlling with their monetary power, financial power. And Sudras, their skill, they used to be produced, and they used to have Sudra skills were musical skill, dancing skill, those were the Sudra skills. And today we are seeing that how Sudras are being glorified. The rock musician is the most exalted person. And sculptors, painters, they are considered to be the most exalted. But actually, from the Vedic calculation, they are Sudras. Anyway, so that's how the world is changing now. So Nityananda Prabhu delivered the marchants, and that community became followers of Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu also delivered some dacoits. He was so powerful, like of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered Jagai and Madhai. Similarly, Nityananda Prabhu also delivered one dacoit leader who was a Brahmana, exalted, coming from exalted Brahmana family. But due to bad association, he became a thief, a dacoit. And Nityananda Prabhu delivered him. And along with him came all the other dacoits, his followers. So in this way, Nityananda Prabhu very extensively spread Krishna consciousness in eastern part of India. And Nityananda Prabhu also was taking care of Sachi Mata. When Nityananda Prabhu came back to Bengal, Sachi Mata actually requested him to stay in our temple. So Nityananda Prabhu did that. And so that is how wonderful Nityananda Prabhu is. And another personality who played a very, very important role is Haridas Thakur. He is the Nama Acharya. Haridas Thakur, who is Haridas Thakur? Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma. Like, he came and Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family. But at a young age, he left home and he came to a forest-like place, in a place called Benepol, and there he was just absorbed in chanting the holy. Actually, Hare Krishna Mahamantra became available to some individuals before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and Haridas Thakur was one example. So people became very impressed and affected by Nityananda, by Haridas Thakur, that he is such an exalted personality, so saintly. And but there was a landlord in that area. Landlord, you can say, is like a small king. It's a king with a small kind of kingdom. They have a huge piece of land, and they used to have their own army also. So there was this person called Ramchandra Khan. He was very envious of the Vaishnavas. He became very envious of Haridas Thakur, thinking that why people are running after him. So he decided to prove and arrest him that he is a fake. And he actually appointed one very beautiful prostitute to make him fall down. And he wanted to send the soldiers with her so that she would make him fall down, and then they would arrest him and bring him to him for punishment. So this girl, her name was Lakshahira. So Lakshahira, literally the word means tens of thousands of, hundreds of thousands of diamonds. Laksha means 100,000. She was so brilliant, so beautiful, that she had the name like that. She was the best in her book, in her occupation. So he appointed her, and she agreed. She went to Haridas Thakur and approached him dressed in a very, very attractive way. And so Haridas Thakur, when he expressed her desire, saying that you are such a handsome person, become attracted to you, please fulfill my desire. Haridas Thakur said, okay, but you see, I have a commitment to chant certain number of rounds. So when I finish my round, I'll fulfill it. And throughout the night, Haridas Thakur chanted. So it became morning, and he said that I'm sorry that I couldn't finish my round. So please come again. So she came again the second night, also the same thing happened. And on the third night, she just fell at his feet in the middle of the night. Please forgive me. I can see that you are such an exalted person. And actually I have been appointed to make you fall down with me. But I can see that you are so exalted that you won't be affected by any provocation. So please forgive me. So Haridas Thakur then told her that I knew everything, but I stayed on just to deliver you. I can see that you are a good person. So give up your occupation, dirty occupation. And the wealth that you have, you distribute it to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And leaving everything behind, you just come here and we chant the holy name. You saw the power of the holy name. And saying that, Haridas Thakur left. Then Haridas Thakur, leaving Benapole, from there another, you can say, maybe 50-60 miles from there, there is a place called Fulia. So Haridas Thakur was staying in a cave. And because of his saintly qualities, people became attracted to him and people started to come. But very soon they would feel some itching in the body and burning sensation, so they would leave. So they were wondering, why do we feel this kind of burning sensation in the body. So they got a snake charmer, and the snake charmer said that there is a very dangerous snake here, extremely poisonous. And since he is so poisonous that because of his breathing, the whole atmosphere has become poisoned. So when Haridas Thakur heard that, he said, okay, then I'll just go out. But then they saw there was a huge snake crawling out of that cave. As if the snake was telling, you rather stay, I would rather leave this place. So this is how even the snakes were tamed by Haridas Thakur. So from there Haridas Thakur went to Shantipur, which is also not very far. That was about only 10-12 miles. And there he met Advaita Acharya. And that's how they developed a relationship. Haridas Thakur was about 35 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in 1486. Haridas Thakur appeared in 1851. And Haridas Thakur became so closely associated to Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya had great respect for him, and they used to spend time together talking about Krishna. Like Advaita Acharya, although staying in Shantipur, but he was not, and that place is surrounded, full of Brahmanas. But Advaita Acharya did not find any interest in associating with those so-called Brahmanas. During Haridas Thakur's father's Shraddha ceremony, it's a custom to offer the greatest honor to the most exalted personality. As during Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhishthira Maharaj, it was decided that Krishna should be given that power, spiritual power, given that recognition for his spiritual power. And Shishupal became very upset, saying that, why him? And he tried to point out that there's nothing great about Sri Krishna. Of course, eventually he was defeated by defeated Krishna himself, killed him, Shishupal. And similarly, when Haridas Thakur was given that Shraddha Patra, the Brahmanas there became very upset, saying, they knew that he was born in a Muslim family. There are so many exalted Brahmanas and you don't recognize them and you give this Muslim that highest honor. But Advaita Acharya pointed out that the ultimate consideration is not the caste or the birth, the exalted spiritual position of the personality. But they wouldn't listen to him. So they, in an angry mood, all the Brahmanas left and boycotting him, and they actually decided to ostracize him from the Brahmana. Advaita Acharya couldn't care less. But when the Brahmanas went home, they noticed one amazing thing, that they can't light fire. Although, actually in the Brahmanas' house, the olive fire is always burning for the sacrifice. It's custom. But all the fire got extinguished. They don't even have fire to cook their food. They tried to bring fire from other villages, but as soon as they came to the boundary of the villages, the fire got extinguished. So they all were surprised what happened. So they felt that maybe it is because they offended Advaita Acharya. So they went to Advaita Acharya and begged forgiveness. Advaita Acharya said, no, not offense to me, it's offense to Haridas. It's because of your offense to Haridas that fire you, boycotting you. And this is how the Brahmanas could recognize Haridas Thakur's exalted position. Yesterday I also mentioned one incident of Haridas Thakur. You remember? The Gopal Chakravarti who offended Haridas Thakur in the house of Raghunath Das Goswami. What happened to him? Yes, he developed leprosy and his nose fell off. Not only his nose, I mean his whole body got affected. And leprosy is a terrible disease. Nowadays you don't see leprosy cases. Not so common. And there is cure for leprosy. I knew one doctor who was appointed for leprosy treatment. But now it is only in Jagannath Puri you see lepers.
As far as I know, in Australia and New Zealand, there's an island they're shipped off to, and nothing is said. Not many people know that.
Okay. Yeah, because it's a contagious disease actually. In Jagannath Puri there is, and it is said that one develops leprosy due to offenses to the Vaishnavas. I don't know what happens in Australia. But, so, this person developed leprosy. The influence of Haridas Thakur, the glory of Haridas Thakur started to spread so widely that the Muslim Qazi, the Muslim governor, became worried. That this person is born in a Muslim family and look, he has converted into Hindu and he is so becoming so popular and probably he will be a bad influence to the Muslim community. Therefore, they decide that the Qazi reported to the Nawab, the king. And the king called him and tried to make him understand. He said, look, you got such an exalted birth. You're born in a Muslim family. So why aren't you taking advantage of that? Why did you give up your religion and accept some other religion? So Haridas Thakur said, God is one. So all the religions are following the same personality. So if I feel inclination to follow Him in this way, what's the harm? But the king said, no. You have a special opportunity being Muslim. So you should not give up your religious commitment. So Haridas Thakur tried to explain, said that look, this is how I develop my relationship with the Lord by calling out His name. So, please allow me to practice that. Then the Nawab said, no, you should not follow the Hindu culture. Then Haridas Thakur just mentioned that, look, I can't give up chanting. Even if I try, I can't give up chanting the holy name. Even if my body is cut to pieces, I won't be able to stop chanting. Even if my life air leaves my body, still I cannot stop chanting the holy name. So Nawab said, is it true? Let's see. Here, if your body is cut to pieces, you won't be able to stop chanting. So he decided to torture Haridas Thakur. He got the 4 or 5 torturers, summoned them, and said, take him and beat him in the marketplace, in 22 marketplaces. So that everybody can see what happens when a Muslim converts into any other religion. So Haridas Thakur was taken to the marketplace by these torturers. They were actually executioners. They are assigned to kill people. So they were beating Haridas Thakur. It was so mercilessly they were beating that the bystanders, people who were watching, they fell at their feet and said, please let him go, please let him go. We will pay you money, we will pay you everything. But they didn't listen. They were beating him in such a way that in that kind of beating, in 1 or 2 marketplaces, he would have left his body. But in spite of being beaten so mercilessly in 22 marketplaces, Haridas Thakur still kept on chanting. Now these Muslims became worried. They could see that he is a real saintly person. They fell at his feet and begged him, please, don't take any offense. Please fight with us. We can see that you are very exalted spiritual personality. But the thing is that if without killing you, if we go back, then the king will kill us. So please tell us what we should do. So Haridas Thakur said, well, if my dying, if your life can be saved, then okay, I'll die. So he just laid down dead. So these torturers, they felt that okay, they felt relieved, okay, we'll now take him to the Nawab and show him that we have killed him. But as they tried to lift his body, they couldn't lift his body. They are such strong personalities, they couldn't lift his body. They called all kinds of people, please help us. Still couldn't lift him. And then they again started to cry. If we can't take you, then Nawab won't believe us and he will kill us. So Haridas Thakur's body became light. And they carried Haridas Thakur to the Nawab, the Muslim king. And the Muslim king said, okay, bury him. But the Qazi said, no. He has given up his Muslim religion. Therefore, he should not be buried according to Muslim way. Throw him in the river. So, Haridas Thakur's body was thrown into Ganges. And everybody saw an amazing sight. The body didn't sink. The body just kept on floating. And floating, it came to Shantipur, and there he started to chant the holy name. Hearing his name or chanting, Advaita Acharya, who was in great anxiety because he got the news that Haridas Thakur has been arrested, so he was in great anxiety. But when he heard the chanting of the holy name, then he came back and he just ran to meet Haridas Thakur. He thought he was suspecting that he would be killed, and now to see that he is still alive, he was so happy. And together they started to chant the holy name of the Lord. So in this way, Haridas Thakur, one after another, he said his wonderful pastimes, displaying his amazing spiritual person. So, Haridas Thakur ki, Shrimad Nityananda Prabhu ki, Gaur Premanande. So, does anybody have any question? Yes.
We said Haridas Thakur was 35 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, how he got the Maha Mantra, from whom he got the Maha Mantra?
That nobody knows. Okay, he's Brahma himself. Any other question?
Just on the spiritual identity of Lord's associates, how is it affirmed their spiritual identities? You said one Lord can become many and many spiritual identities can manifest in one. Is it pre-decided when the Lord wants to come appear, how his associates will be surrounding him, or is it the acharyas who actually reaffirms their identities?
Yeah. In simple words, those who have spiritual vision, they could see the spiritual personalities and how so many of them came, or how one became many. Actually, this has been, there's a book by a very exalted follower, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kavi Karnapur. The name of the book is Gaur Ganesh Deepika. The identification of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he gave all the description. He is who. Vijay Gopi Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you. Very nice to describe Haridas Thakur's lifetime. Would there be a possibility of discussing his very departure also? Haridas Thakur's departure also?
Yeah, I was thinking of that, but I thought I'll give some time. Since it came as a question, so I will naturally answer. Haridas Thakur, as I said, he was very old. He was 35 years older. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can see, Haridas Thakur became very sick. But every day he used to chant 300,000 names of the Lord. That means every day he chanted about 200 rounds. And although he became sick, and still he was chanting. He settled down in Jagannath Puri actually. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but because he considered himself to be coming from a fallen or low class background, he did not go to Jagannath Temple. He used to offer pranam, obeisances to the flags of and chakra on top of the temple. So, although Haridas Thakur didn't go to see Jagannath, but Jagannath himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, used to come every day to see him. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing his condition, he asked Haridas, "How is your health?" Haridas Thakur's reply was that my health is fine, but my mind is in trouble. I cannot chant, I cannot finish my rounds. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, look, you don't have to chant in this condition. But he insisted that he would fulfill his commitment. Then one day, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present there, Haridas Thakur looking at the lotus face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left his body. He was so dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up his body and he kept on dancing. And then he actually buried his body on the bank of the ocean in Puri. That is where that temple is now. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged a feast. Like he himself went begging Jagannath Prasad and he fed everybody. Like such a fortunate personality. The Mahaprabhu himself danced with his body, buried his body and conducted the posthumous rites. Thank you, Hare Krishna. So, any other question? Yes?
Guru Maharaj, as you say, Suridas Pandit had two daughters, with Janava and Vasudha, and Nityananda Prabhu got married with both of them. But the marriage place we know in Kalna. But what about Bhargachi? Bhargachi, is this any connected with Nityananda Prabhu's wedding?
I don't know. Bhargachi, where is Bhargachi?
It's a little bit far away from Mayapur, next to the Bethwadavi.
Oh, no, no. That is the place of Horihar. Horihar, the king, who actually patronized the wedding. But the wedding took place in the house of Suryadas Sakya, who lived in Ambika Kala. Hare Bol, any other question? Hare Krishna. Ket, do you have a question?
I'm sure I'll think of something.
Okay. Okay, so if there is no question, we can have a short kirtan and then end the